The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November/December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin with the front cover. Mutiny in the House, and we have a picture of Juju Watkins, says, is dominating the game. This is basketball. She's doing a nice behind-the-back pass. And next up, she's changing it. She is the Sports Kid of the Year. We're also going to be entertaining Mutiny in the Treehouse, page 9. Padres superstar Fernando Tatis Jr., page 22. Posters, Jimmy Butler and Aaron Donald. And then on the back cover, Snowballers, the epic conclusion. So we're going to begin with Freeze Frame, page 2. Picture here of Rafael Nadal, the feet of clay, October 9th, 2020, Paris, France. Rafael Nadal beat Argentina's Diego Schwartzman 6-3, 6-3, 7-6 in the semifinals of the French Open. The win was the King of Clay's 99th in Roland Garros. He went on to beat Novak Djokovic in the final, his 13th French Open victory and 20th Grand Slam singles title overall, which tied Roger Federer's record. It was Djokovic's first loss in a completed match in 2020. Then our next freeze frame, picture of the stiff penalty, it's called, October 13, 2020, Nashville, Tennessee. The Buffalo Bills' Josh Norman paid a significant price when he tried to bring down Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans. The powerful running back hit Norman with a stiff arm that sent the 200-pound cornerback flying. It was all for naught, as the play was nullified by a pair of penalties. Henry finished the game with two rushing touchdowns in the Titans' 42-16 victory. Next, we're going to Who's Who in Sports. And the first line, this on page 8, we have Justin Fields, Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback. After transferring to Ohio State from Georgia following the 2018 season, Fields took over as the Buckeyes' starting quarterback in 2019. He threw for 3,273 yards, 41 touchdowns, and just 3 interceptions, leading Ohio State to the college football playoff. Fields finished 3rd in the Heisman Trophy voting. Did you know? The only player to win more than one Heisman Trophy also played for the Buckeyes. Running back Archie Griffin won it in 1974 and 75. Justin Fields, his height is 6'3", his weight is 228 pounds. He was born March 5, 1999, in the hometown of Kennesaw, Georgia. Next we have Samantha Mewis. She is USWNT midfielder. Mewis has her height is 5'10". She was born October 9th, 1992 in her hometown, Hanson, Massachusetts. Mewis has scored 18 goals in 67 games for the United States, including a pair against Thailand in the 2019 World Cup. Mewis played in 6 of the team's 7 games as the United States won the championship. After winning 2 NWSL titles with North Carolina, Mewis transferred to Manchester City in August, along with United States teammate Rose Lavelle. Did you know? Man City won the FA Women's Super League in 2016, but has now finished 2nd 3 years in a row. And finally, we have Nathan MacKinnon, Colorado Avalanche center. His height is 6 feet. His weight is 200 pounds. He was born September 1st, 1995, hometown, Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, Canada. Following a season in which he finished 5th in the NHL in points with 93, MacKinnon was the runner-up in voting for the Hart Trophy, given to the league's MVP. He won the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy as the league's most gentlemanly player. McKinnon was the first pick of the 2013 draft. Did you know? Before they moved to Colorado, the Avalanche played in Quebec and were known as the Nordiques, which means Northmen or Northerners. Then we have page 9. Tis the Treason has a picture here of some of the ballers. Looks like somebody trying to make a mad slam dunk. Snow and ice all around, but these are just pictures, just statues. And then, of course, we have someone in the treehouse. And he says, okay, people, let's shoot this cover. We've got the Rockets for only 1 hour, and I want to see some serious snowballers action. Same person. And no snowballs better hit me, your beloved editor-in-chief. Such a foolish throw would be considered an act of treason. Someone from the crowd. I can't believe we have to freeze out here while His Highness sips cocoa on his office balcony. Someone else in the crowd. Oh, the faster we nail this cover, the sooner we can go inside and thaw out. Someone else. Well, I can feel my toes. Give me your wizard cape. In the treehouse. Places, snowballs. Action. Beautiful. Try some more angles, Penny. Oh, and as the snowballs come cracking around, swap, snap. Then we have little girl. Don't you think you're pushing them too hard? It's buzzing height outside. And shouldn't we switch back to a more standard temperature metric? You worry too much. They're having a ball out there. Snowballer season has always been a blast, even when it was just me and Whitney. Liz, if anyone's got complaints, my door is always open. Whack! Comes a snowball upside his head. Thwack! Who the... And it's those people who've been waiting outside in the cold. Whitney! Challenge. Per the treehouse charter, any staff member may challenge for the role of editor-in-chief through seasonally appropriate ritual and athletic combat. In the winter, the challenge must be answered through a sudden death NHL-style shootout. Do you understand these rules as they have been read to you? So two players with the hockey sticks. Yes.
Yes.
Do you still need us, or should we leave?
Fweep!
Goes a whistle. They're off. Quack, quack, they're challenging. Oh, quack, quack. She can't score while the net is falling over. You're the referee. Turn to what's the call on page 52 when the net falls over and tell us who's the editor-in-chief of SI Kids. Warm-up. Tear up the cheat sheet. It has a picture here of the red card. Baseball pants pockets should be used for storing snacks and interesting rocks, not fielding alignment cards. Tear up the cheat sheets. Why isn't every test open book? Is it because teachers are mean? Yes. But that's not the point. If students could check their notes during quizzes, they would never study and would learn less. Tests let the teacher know how much their pupils have retained. They also challenge skills. Can the test taker formulate an essay from a new prompt? Can they manage their time under pressure? Athletics should be the ultimate test of skills under pressure. Increasingly, however, sports are an open book test. Why should professional athletes be held to a lower standard than fifth-grade social studies students? Anyone who watched the Major League Baseball playoffs this year surely noticed players checking their notes on the field. The baseball uniform is delightfully out of date with its high socks and belt loops. It harkens back to baseball's ancient history as a sport played by mustachioed gentlemen in collared shirts. But the funny little back pockets on baseball pants, traditionally used to hold sunflower seeds or batting gloves, now house the instrument of the sport's reunion, the alignment card. The laminated index cards that fielders consult before every at-bat contain instructions on where to stand against every hitter, with additional recommendations based on which hand the pitcher throws with and the count. Fielders adjusting for each batter is nothing new, although shifts have become more frequent and dramatic. Willie Mays famously directed defensive alignments from center field for the Giants. The Say Hey Kid did not, however, require a cheat sheet. Baseball prides itself as a cerebral sport. When fielders carry around cards telling them what to do, it puts players who get by on their guile and knowledge at a disadvantage. Soon, hitters will consult little spreadsheets between every pitch, checking for a hurler's go-to in every count. Pitchers have already joined in on the trend. In a 2018 game, umpire Joe West confiscated Phillies hurler Austin Davis's card under Rule 6.02C7, which bans the pitcher from possessing foreign substances. It was designated to prevent things like Vaseline and pine tar used to create a spitball-type effect. West took the attitude of a teacher who promises to give a Game Boy back at the end of the school year. I know all the players now carry a cheat sheet like this, West says. I saw him take it out, and I went, "What the heck is that?" I said, you can have it back after the game, but you can't have it now. Unfortunately, Major League Baseball did not support West's interpretation of Rule 602, and the crib notes have proliferated. Baseball has rules against the cards slowing down games, but some delays seem inevitable, and it just looks silly. Hulking athletes are reduced to nervous grade schoolers giving book reports every time they stare down at their charts. Let's draw a bright line that applies to all sports. Or, better yet, let's use the lines already painted on the field. Sideline studying, iPads, charts, conversations with coaches is fine. But once an athlete steps onto the field, they should be left to fend with only their wits and their equipment. That means another famous coaching tool. The football helmet radio needs to go, too. The NFL banned the QB coach radio after Browns coach Paul Brown, the team's namesake, successfully pulled it off in the 1950s. 40 years later, the league approved the one-way radio for QBs and, in 2008, for the defensive captain. But the NFL's rules tacitly admit it's a cheat. The microphones go dead with 15 seconds left on the play clock. If a quarterback can manage a quarter minute without his coach's voice in his head, surely he can run the huddle by himself. It's all the better if professional football has to switch to the NCAA trend of plays being relayed from the sideline by non sequitur mimi posters. Imagine Tom Brady shouting this audible over crowd noise. SpongeBob, Superman, plain emoji. A hut, hike! Banning on-field aid may lead to sloppier play in the short term. Quarterbacks will throw more interceptions and fielders may collide, confused about who covers which base and which shift. In the long run, however, these practices will force athletes to develop their awareness and critical thinking skills. Eventually, this generation's Willie Mays may emerge and set a good example for kids who choose to learn the finer points of their sports before they reach the highest level. Ultimately, the cheat sheet should be banned for reasons of fairness. No, they're not unfair to the opposing team. They're unfair to me. Mrs. Brahms expects us to memorize all the state capitals in the United States. Do you know how many states have capitals? All of them. But when I ask to consult an index during the quiz and tell her all my heroes in Major League Baseball do it, I get in trouble. The grind. Warm-up. What's the best present you ever received? This is skateboarder Minna Stress. My dog, Tallulah. Tennis player Sebastian Corda. My first real set of tennis rackets when I was 10. Arizona Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson. My watch from my wife. Which is your favorite holiday? Minna Stress. Christmas and Hanukkah. Sebastian Corda. Christmas. I start listening to Christmas music in October. And Patrick Peterson, Thanksgiving. Who would you want to play you in a movie about your life? Minna Stress says Emma Watson. Sebastian Corda says Rowan Atkinson. And Patrick Peterson, Will Smith. What's been your favorite quarantine activity during the pandemic? Minna Smith says, well, watching Timothy Chalamet movies again and again. Sebastian Corda says, well, Xbox with my buddies and a card game called Sequence with my dad. And Patrick Peterson says, well, getting in the pool. Which songs get you pumped up to compete? Mina Stress says, Hot Rod by Dayglo. Sebastian Corda says, I watch Martin Garrix perform on YouTube. And Patrick Peterson says, Landed by Drake. What's your go-to emoji? This is the straight-laced emoji. For Sebastian Corda, the ghost and the cry. Patrick Peterson says, oh, no. And what sport would you like to go pro in besides your own? Mina Stess says gymnastics. Sebastian Corda, hockey, because I played until I was 11 years old. And Patrick Peterson says golf. Pouring it on. Jimmy Butler's big face coffee was the breakout star of the NBA bubble. The secret to the Miami Heat Cinderella run to this year's NBA finals. The French press. If that sounds like an exotic European version of the full court press, that's because, well, you're young and you drink apple juice. It's actually a device that uses a plunger to brew coffee. Heat star Jimmy Butler packed his French press along with some other fancy coffee-making equipment before isolating in the NBA bubble. Quickly, he realized he had a monopoly on premium Java and started a business, Big Face Coffee. The whiteboard menu outside his hotel room went viral for its selection, 9 drinks, and its confusing pricing. A small, medium, and large cup all cost $20. Butler's brand led to merchandise, a registered trademark, and a competitor, Little Face Coffee, from Miami assistant trainer Brandon Gilliam. Butler may be a beverage genius. Sneakers cost the same price no matter the size. Buying a bigger size doesn't net a better value. It just makes your shoes not fit. The same logic might apply to a cup of Joe. Everyone has a different tolerance for caffeine. Nobody needs any more than it takes to get them awake. His policy of charging $50 for 2 smalls, though, we can't explain that. December birthdays. December 6th, Giannis Antetokounmpo celebrates his 26th birthday. December 8th, Manchester City's Raheem Sterling turns 26 years old. December 10th, World Team Tennis Association tennis player Kiki Bertens of the Netherlands is 29. That's a Women's Tennis Association. December 18th, Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Victor Hedman turns 30. And December 21st, Mike Clevinger celebrates his first birthday as a Padre and 30th overall. California, their day in the sun. California and Florida have all the beaches, all the theme parks, and now apparently all the good sports teams. Does that seem fair? Are the rest of us supposed to go along with this because they have to live in mortal terror of bears and alligators, respectively? When the Los Angeles Dodgers and Tampa Bay Rays advanced to the World Series in October, it ensured that 3 post-pandemic championships would be won by a team from one of these 2 sunny states. It also represented the second straight L.A. versus Florida matchup after the Lakers beat the Heat in the NBA Finals. It's almost too bad all 3 of the NHL's California teams are in the basement of the Pacific Division and couldn't challenge the eventual champion Tampa Bay Lightning for the Stanley Cup. This bi-coastal rivalry might not be done. With Tom Brady on the Buccaneers, the odds of a rubber game against the Rams in the NFC Championship are decent. The winner, of course, would advance to the Super Bowl to be held this season at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. Considering Texas' success this season, the Astros and Stars, it's surprising that the country's 3 biggest states have combined for a significant decline in TV ratings across sports. Maybe give the rest of the country a chance. Fernando Tatis Jr., San Diego Padres shortstop. While leading the Padres back to the postseason, the 21-year-old slugger provided timely hitting, solid defense, and most importantly, in a difficult year, loads of fun. This was not a fun baseball season. First, there was an ugly financial battle between players and owners who weren't able to agree on a plan to return to the field during the COVID-19 pandemic. Much of the action on the field was a drag, too. a shortened season with scrambled schedules meant many stars never faced each other. Games were played with piped-in crowd noise to complement a sea of cardboard fans and seats filled with teddy bears. It was a novel environment, to be sure, but not a particularly fun one. And then there's Fernando Tatis Jr. It is rare for a player so young to be so talented, or a player so talented to be such a source of joy. It's especially rare for a player to be all three of those things. But that is Tatis, who has transformed into a superstar and shown that, while his name may be familiar, there is no one like him. At 21, he plays shortstop with an audacious energy and runs the bases with the same abandon. Watching him is like watching a highlight playlist set on shuffle. On any given night, Tatis might offer a monster home run or a gutsy steal or a leaping catch, but there's always something. He redefined the term fantasy baseball player. It seems pointless to argue that he's the most exciting player in baseball, because really, who needs to be convinced of anything so obvious? He just has the spirit of a 10 or 12-year-old playing the best board in the world, says Padres manager J.C. Tingler, and he does it with such a swag, a confidence, and he has a blast. There are plenty of statistics to paint the picture of his explosive season. 17 home runs, second in the National League, 45 runs batted in just 59 games. Yet Tatis' game is defined just as much by the sort of player he is aesthetically. He plays with a joy that is palpable. He's fun to watch because he's so openly interested in his own idea of fun. He flips bats. He dances in the dugout after home runs. He accessorizes his uniform with neon shoelaces and headbands. Fun is not a side effect of his baseball. It is his baseball. That is, Tatis says, the way he's always played. He loves baseball too much to approach it any differently. A fondness that started with his father, Fernando Tatis Sr., who played 11 seasons in Major League Baseball. He showed me the passion for the game, the younger Tatis says of his dad. He showed me the love for the game. He showed me how to respect the game. But his talent is distinct from his father's. Asked whether he sees any similarities in their play, Tatis Sr. can only laugh. It's not even close. Junior's way, way, way better. Though Tatis Sr. appeared in 800 more games than his son has so far, Tatis Jr. has already surpassed him in WAR. And Tatis Sr. notes that his son's style is all his own, too. I'm a calm guy. I like to watch the game. I like to be quiet, you know, says the elder Tatis. And Jr. is like, he likes to have fun. He likes to talk. He likes to feel free. That's his personality on the field, off the field. Rule breaker. Of course, having that much personality is going to rub some old-school baseball coaches, players, and fans the wrong way. In August, Tatis caused a stir for a crime of gasp, swinging at a 3-0 pitch with the bases loaded and a sizable lead for the Padres against Texas. He hit a home run. Teammate Eric Hosmer scolded him in the dugout. Rangers manager Chris Woodard huffed. I didn't like it. But then things took a twist. Woodard later walked back his frustration. I can't really blame Tatis. A Hall of Famer took Tatis' side. We need players like you, Reggie Jackson tweeted. The conversation felt almost entirely one-sided. Everyone seemed to recognize the rising star of Tatis. What happens when baseball decides that a player is just too much fun for anyone to argue over? You throw out the unwritten rules. Tatis, for his part, just kept going. I'm just trying to play my game, he says. I don't know. People were talking. But I still came the next day and played the game that I love and played the same way that I played the night before. But Tatis is not here to make a statement or change the game. He wants to keep getting better. He wants to win. And all of that, he declares, should involve some joy. This game is hard, says Tatis. The game is tough. The game is going to come after you every single day. So why not try to have fun? Padres power. Tatis isn't the only reason things are looking up in San Diego. One, Manny Machado, third baseman. In the second season of his massive 10-year, $300 million deal, the 28-year-old Machado hit .300 for the first time in his career and finished tied for third in the league with 16 homers, one behind Tatis. Dennelson Lamet, starting pitcher. After missing 2018 following elbow surgery, the 28-year-old had a breakout season on the mound in 2020. He averaged 12.1 strikeouts per nine innings with a 2.09 ERA. He missed the playoffs with arm troubles, though. And there's number three, Trent Grisham, center fielder. The 24-year-old hit 10 homers, including one that irked the Dodgers when Grisham stood at the plate and admired it. "We respect the game, but we're going to have fun," manager J.C. Tingler said. Grisham also played great defense, finishing sixth in the NHL, in the NL in defensive war. And next week, we'll find out about Jimmy Butler and Aaron Donald. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. The North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.